Doesn't matter whether or not that's true.
The fuck? All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, November something, 29th? Yeah, November the 29th, 2018, I hope. If not, I've lost a year and, you know, whatever. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and banging my head on the desk until the people at work make sense. I'm Morps, and tonight I'm drinking. A lot. And we have Madman. What are you doing, Madman?
I am playing StarCraft, watching The Gifted, and I finally among the last beers in my fridge, so I decided to pop it open. I'm drinking a Sam Adams Pumpkin Spice Lager, which the only reason it was in my fridge is it was part of their sample pack for autumn, which is a bunch of good beers and that.
And that. So kind of drinking at the bottom of the barrel there.
It's pretty much, they decided it's fall, there's got to be a beer with pumpkin in it, and we'll be one of the ones making it. And I'm like, why? Everyone else is doing it. Pumpkin can belong in many things. I don't think beer is one of those many things.
We have, are you, what are you up to?
The tears of clouds. That is what I am drinking. My liver is thanking me for it.
And I guess I didn't actually say what I was drinking. It's Jim Beam Devil's Cut. And Suave, what are you up to?
I'm currently drinking Show Pony Gin, made in the Steel Toe Distillery in Potomac, Montana.
The nice.
50%.
God, that sounds the yuppiest shit I've ever heard of.
It was made by Mountain Man. With the finest local herbs and berries. He's literally wearing, like, he had the great big beard. And,
plaid shirt.
Plaid shirt.
With the red suspenders.
Wait, is this the guy from the paper towels?
There may have been suspenders involved, yes. His house looked like a hobbit house.
Yeah. Every bottle comes with a little bit of mousse in it.
But I gotta say, he makes really good gin. Doesn't taste at all like actual gin. It doesn't really taste like any other booze I've had before, but it's very sippable.
Nice. So, I don't know about you guys, but work's, I mean, I honestly think they're trying to kill me. Or get themselves fired, maybe? I'm not actually sure what's going on, but, I literally had somebody tell me to enter two tickets for the same job. Like, just copy and paste one. It's like...
Do they know how the ticketing system is supposed to work?
No, because it's not a... Because they're not using a fucking ticketing system. They're using a bug tracker as a ticketing system. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. So... Yeah, it literally, it was like, well, you know, okay, we can't see your tickets. Can you, like, copy it into another one so we can see it too? Why? I mean, you know, as opposed to fixing the fucking problem or getting a proper ticketing system, no, can you copy and paste? It's like, fucker, it's two commands. Why do I need to do 10 minutes of documentation for two fucking commands? It's like, all right, fine. Where's your change management policy?
Shot of what I'm looking at. Now you can see the ticket.
It's like, you know what? Fine. Where's the fucking change management policy? The what? So you're just making this shit up? Yeah. And this is why we drink a lot.
It's easier to pass inspection if you can just say, "Yep, it works."
like, what? Where are your policies? What policies? Well, fuck.
We're adhering to all of our policies, sir.
What are your policies? Whatever I say they are at the moment. Oh, Madman, you were having some issues on the job front. How are you doing on that? And of course, remember you're on air.
I'm staying awake at my job.
Hey, that's something.
It's monotonous and repetitive, but hopefully by August I'll be doing research rather than what I'm doing.
Nice. I know RU is still fun employed, so we don't want to mess with that. Suave, are you fun? You're not? I thought you were fun employed.
I'm working on the house, man.
Ah!
That's okay. Pretty much become my full-time employment at this point. And I'm thinking about doing some volunteer stuff for elderly, getting computers set up for them.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a non-for-profit started up. I'm really wary about doing anything for these people because some of them are absolute fucking scams. So you really got to look into them.
Yeah.
But this group, they're a non-for-profit organization that give the, instead of the elderly people coming to like a centralized hall to be taught, you go to their house. So you do it in the comfort of their own home. So it's a one-on-one sort of thing. Just checking them out. Probably going to go see them next week. And see how that goes. But the house is full-time employment for me, man. The drains are clogged again.
Suave, you weren't fun employed. I thought you were doing okay.
Oh no, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm back at my winter job.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha. So I don't know why I'm talking jobs, I'm just venting really. It's like, what are you gonna do? I'm going to kill a bitch. I mean, and why is this podcast submitted as evidence? Well, you see, turns out this is a switchblade, and
but in saying that too, Morp's like fucking. Even if you aren't employed, make sure you're doing something every day. Don't just be sitting there fucking browsing 4chan all day. You know what I mean? Get up, do something.
Yes,
that way just keep yourself motivated.
Yes,
put
we
the
all
knife
know.
Down.
You have a flick knife. Morps is in the gang now.
He likes to rumble.
They shaved my head and everything. Anyways, so I guess we can get to the actual content here, huh? Let's see. This one, so the discussion piece I got for tonight's kind of interesting. It's from ZDNet. After Microsoft complaints, Indian police arrest tech support scammers at 26 call centers. So, New Delhi police have arrested 63 suspects in the last 2 months working and operating 26 call centers that were engaging in tech support scams, posing as tech support staff at Microsoft, Google, Apple, and other major tech companies. The raids on the Delhi-based call centers have taken place over the last 2 months, Microsoft said. Police first raided 10 call centers and arrested 24 people in October, then raided 16 other call centers and made 39 more arrests this week. Microsoft said its staff received over 7,000 victim reports associated with the 16 call centers raided this week from over 15 countries. Users reported paying between $100 and $500 for unnecessary tech support services and products. The raids resulted in the seizures of substantial evidence, including call scripts, live chats, voice call recordings, and customer records from tech support for fraud operations, Microsoft said. The Delhi police crackdown on the tech support call centers came after Microsoft filed legal complaints earlier this year. Microsoft has been collecting customer complaints about tech support scams since 2014 via its Report a Technician Support Scam portal. I didn't even know this thing fucking existed. Because I'd probably report some people I work with on it just for fun. Tech support scams, also known as scareware, have been a huge problem for Windows users. Blah, 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 blah. Company has been fighting such scams since 2014. And then, of course, you know, they have the rules here at the bottom. Microsoft will never reach out to you proactively. Be wary of any unsolicited phone calls or pop-up messages on your device. Do not call the phone number in a pop-up window on your device and be cautious about clicking on notifications. to scan your computer or download software. Never give control of your computer to a third party unless they can confirm it's a legitimate representative of a computer support team you are already a customer of. If skeptical, take the person's information down and immediately report it to your local authorities. So, so here's the question. This reads like Microsoft is going in and raiding these call centers. I realize they're filing a complaint in India and Indian police are doing it. But, I mean, this shit's been going on for years and is very clearly illegal. Why is Microsoft having to do this at all?
I guess the Indian police just didn't give a shit until somebody important started making noise.
No, I don't think it's that. I've had to deal with this. When people got scam emails or scam calls from someone they thought was representing the institution I worked for, they didn't call the cops. They called me. Like, I got this email saying my account's been compromised, but it looks fishy. It doesn't look like any of the other emails I get from you. It's got an extra letter in the address, and it's coming from Bangladesh. I'm like, did you click on that motherfucker? Don't click on that motherfucker. It's got the AIDS. It's got the fucking AIDS. Don't click on it.
Wow. I want to go to the fucking induction day that they give you for your phone calls, madman. All right.
What the hell are you calling me about this? They don't call the cops. That's why Microsoft had to step in. Microsoft has been getting enough calls about this, and they're like, fine. Instead of paying one of our call center reps $15 or $16 an hour to tell these people to call the cops, we're finally stepping in and calling the cops.
Well, just how cyberpunk is it to have corporations enforcing laws now?
They're not enforcing the laws. They're making the criminal complaint.
Okay, fair point. It certainly reads like Microsoft is enforcing the law, though.
Mm-hmm. That's because the writer wants to get clicks.
Mm.
But no, Microsoft isn't enforcing the laws. Microsoft is simply the complainant, and the Delhi police are enforcing the laws.
Although I bet you Microsoft had a fair bit of evidence for them.
They probably had a dozen people's names and addresses, and here's the time they called.
Gave them a nice bundle. They're like, here's some easy arrests, guys.
That's probably true. I'm more just thinking, it's like, this shit's very clearly illegal, and they were running these huge operations. I don't know why they had to wait on Microsoft to complain about it. And I'm thinking beyond that, right? So think how many fucking scam phone calls you get a day. I mean, maybe you guys don't get it as bad as I do, but I usually get 3 or 4 a fucking day.
Right.
And most of these are for made up bullshit companies, or they're, it's whatever. So it's not like they're impersonating a legit company that I can complain to, and then that company's eventually going to, go get something taken down, right? So this model doesn't work for most of the scams that are out there. It works for the guy saying that they're, some Microsoft certified technician. And when you ask them what their technician number is, they hang up on you. But it's like, oh, really? What part of the campus are you on? I'm in building E. And then they hang up on you. I don't know, man. I just... I guess the takeaway here is there is that tech support scam portal, which could be, I was kidding before. Don't abuse that. We actually want to get the scams knocked out. So,
they say there's a sucker born every minute. And, since the dawn of time, there's always been some scam artist out there. It's not something that's ever going to go away. There's always going to be people who fall for it.
I get a phone call from my grandmother.
It's a new phenomenon. It's just a different medium.
Yeah, I get a phone call from my grandmother at least once a week, reading me the new one that she got and wanting to know if it was real or not. I'm like, no, it's not real. You'd think she'd recognize the pattern by now, but it might just be an excuse to call me. So,
fair enough.
Vince, how do you call your grandmother?
Well, she usually calls me about once a week, so I mean...
It's an excuse to call you. You don't call your grandmother enough. Because I'm hearing it's a one-way communication. She's finding a pretext to call you.
Yeah, that might be true.
I'm at your family. Most of them aren't dumb.
Yeah.
Well, my wife got in the car when I picked her up yesterday. She had an email and 4 missed phone calls from the Australian Tax Department. And I went, no, that's not the tax department. If we get a letter in the mail, that's the tax department.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
A certified letter in the mail or a knock on the door followed by a badger and a gun?
Yeah. That's when we'll pay attention to the tax department.
A little confused why they're handing me their badge and gun, but, you know, hey, it's something.
It's my turn. Woo! Can't wait till I get my turn as prime minister.
Oh, yeah.
The way that's going, it'll be a week and a half.
Yep.
So everybody gets a weekly turn as prime minister, but all decisions have to be ratified at a special biweekly meeting.
You know, that would actually fucking work. Compared to what we're doing right now, that could actually work.
It's a Monty Python skit.
Hey, they had good ideas. You don't just hit a man in the face with a fish.
Yeah, sometimes you have a dead parrot.
Mm-hmm.
Must cut down the mightiest tree in the forest with a herring. Anyways.
Is there anything else companies can do other than forward that to the cops? I don't think the cops have a very, at least not a very public line to call in and complain about this type of shit.
Well, the problem is, I mean, the real problem is that it's not in our country. So, like, could we individually call the New Delhi police and complain about an Indian tech support scam? Yeah. They're going to hang up on us. Or, you know, very politely, oh, yeah, we'll get right on that. And then, you know, that'll be the end of that.
No, sir. You need to send picture of boob and virgin before I can investigate this.
Wait. I thought I was talking. I'm talking to another scammer again, aren't I? It's like, I thought you were the police.
No, sir.
No, we are police.
No. Yes, this is Microsoft Delhi scam police computers.
No, I think you may have the right plan off air. Just get on their abuse list. Scammers have those too, right?
One of them did because I unleashed the most racist tirade of shit I've seen on the internet on one of these guys who called me, because he happened to call me when I was alone at home and I could do so. Usually the phone goes off and I'm out in public somewhere, and doing that in the middle of a Starbucks is really not a good idea. So,
oh yes, it is. Oh God, yes it is.
The last
right after
one
they had... write the let's have a conversation on your cop. that's when you do it.
But yeah, I just unleashed on this guy and they didn't call me for about a year, so I'm pretty sure I was on an abuse list.
I got a guy to flip out the last time he called. I called him Patel and told him I was thinking of his mother.
Nice.
Lost his shit. Called me a motherfucker.
Yes, yours actually, sir.
What's a mud rucker?
I have no idea. I don't speak Patel.
Nice. So, all right. Do we have anything else on Microsoft shutting down these tech skulls? I mean, it's nice to see that they're at least doing something about it, but
yeah, it would be great. It'd be great if all countries could get proactive on this fucking Indian call scamming bullshit, but there are bigger things out there for the cops to do.
Well, that's true.
And let's face it, India, that's probably not high on their crime list.
Yeah, they've got other things going on, don't they?
I wonder, has India passed up Nigeria for scams?
The organized ones, probably.
Dude, I think Nigeria has gone so far below the third world poverty level that they just don't have the...
They don't have computers anymore.
No, that's not what I want to say. It's something like it's not worth it. Or the country is so not stable enough, you can't even run a scam out of it. That's how bad it's got.
They have to immediately convert it to another.
Yeah, it's
convert to Bitcoin
so
or something.
Unstable. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Anybody else buy Bitcoin on the dip?
Nope.
No, I'm not a fucking retard.
It's like, what are you doing? It's called gambling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in financing. No, you're not. You work at a fucking casino.
Yeah.
What did you buy it at?
38. 3,800
bitcoins.
Well, I gave you the exact number. Yeah, I bought in at 3,839, which is really close to the dip. And it's already back up to 42. So we'll see if it happens to go back up. Yay. If not, I made, you know, the transaction fee and that's about it.
So when we say sell it, are you going to sell it?
Yeah, probably.
All Don't right. listen to your friends.
Well, Don't you see, Suave, you have a misunderstanding of our relationship with that statement.
Yeah, I wouldn't have used the word friend. That's a little strong.
None of us are financial advisors or have any training.
Dude, I get all my advice from this magic eight ball and a D20.
I've got a shotgun with the Lord written on the side of it, and I only do what the Lord tells me to do.
And it's not the D20.
And the Lord tells me to hold.
What's that, Lord? Shoot that wall. All right. Wow, that got kind of dark, actually. It's
3 in the morning. He's shooting fucking holes in his wall. Cops come out. What are you doing? I'm running cat cable. What do you think? It's going through this wall. I couldn't find my saw. The Lord told me.
It's a long distance hole puncher, isn't it? Wow. Great. Let's move on. For anybody wondering, I didn't put that much into Bitcoin. It was $40 because I still had it sitting in the Coinbase account. I never pulled it out after I killed my bank account info in there because they were like triple charging people. So, anyways, let's see. So, next article is from motherboard.thezionistvicenews.com. I don't have that sound clip anymore, so I can't play it. But actually, I think Suave is the one who sent me that. It's hilarious, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's fine. So, 6 years after a massive online protest shuttered swaths of the internet, the music industry has renewed calls for internet filters in a bid to tackle copyright infringement. But experts say such filters not only don't work, they tend to result in unintended censorship, a lesson the industry refuses to learn after years of controversy. Both the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect IP App Act, SOPA and PIPA, were laws. We talked about those on Decking. We were doing Decking then. I think we talked about them on IHN too, didn't we?
Yeah. These laws have been around forever.
Well, I mean, you know, this shit's from 2012, so. Both SOPA and PIPA were laws proposed by the entertainment industry that would have forced ISPs to censor websites deemed infringing by the entertainment industry. A massive online backlash ultimately scuttled both proposals in 2012 after thousands of companies, artists, and critics argued the filters would chill legitimate speech and potentially break the internet. It's not clear that the entertainment industry has learned much from the experience. Last week, both the Recording Industry of America and the National Music Publishers Association sent their latest recommendations for copyright enforcement, quote-unquote, improvements to the U.S. government's Intellectual Property Enforcement Center, or Enforcement Coordinator, Vishal Arman, who had put out a call for industry feedback. Oh, so he asked for it. There are several changes that should be made legislatively to help legal authorities and third parties better protect intellectual property rights, the music groups said in their letters to the government first spotted by Torrent Freak. These include fixing the Digital Millennium Copyright Act to make it a felony to knowingly engage in unauthorized streaming of copyrighted works. Engage, that just means watching. And investigating the positive impact that website blocking of foreign sites has had in other jurisdictions and whether U.S. law should be revised accordingly, the entertainment industry argued. The groups went on to insist that As website blocking has had a positive impact in other countries without significant unintended consequences, the U.S. should consider adding this to its anti-piracy tool. But numerous copyright experts told Motherboard that unintended consequences are a frequent occurrence. Homeland Security accidentally shuttered 84,000 innocent sites once in one 2011 copyright enforcement effort. And Australian filtering efforts resulted in more than 250,000 non-infringing websites being unfairly targeted and temporarily taken offline. Experts say imposing domain-level blacklists of infringing sites is similarly problematic, since such filters are usually easily bypassed with only a modicum of technical know-how. DNS blocks are easy to circumvent because site operators can just register a different domain name in the top-level domain or move to a different top-level domain. Anne-Marie Birdie, professor of law at the University of Idaho, told Motherboard, it will always be a game of cat and mouse with no real permanent effect. Birdie noted that when countries apply such systems at scale with little recourse for the unfairly targeted, the negative externalities for legitimate expression are potentially huge. That's a weird way to phrase that. Adding that a lobbying organization focused on revenue generation shouldn't be dictating essential core internet policy anyways. Thank you.
Something sensible was said in this article.
Yes. The RIA has an obvious interest in selling site blocking to policymakers, Bernie said. They've historically been dismissive of adverse effects on other people's speech. Of course, it's in the RIA's interest to exaggerate the benefits of site blocking and to downplay the costs. That's exactly what we expect them to do as lobbyists for the music industry, and that's what they do. Other copyright experts told Motherboard that the best solution for copyright infringement is the development of better legal alternatives to piracy. New laws mandating ISPs or ISP website filtering were only incentivize bad actors to find new avenues to disseminate infringing content, Sasha Moss, a copyright expert and federal affairs manager at the R Street Institute, told Motherboard. The only way to combat piracy is to create legal and accessible options for securing content online. Studies routinely showed that while pirates are often maligned as freeloader ne'er-do-wells by the entertainment industry, they tend to be the biggest purchasers of legal content. One recent study in the UK showed that 83% of copyright infringers first try to find the content they're looking for from legal sources. But instead of focusing primarily on providing better legal alternatives to piracy, the entertainment industry has long pushed for more draconian options, including demands that ISPs kick copyright infringers offline entirely for copyright infringement. These kinds of scorched earth tactics were a major reason for the massive backlash the industry faced during the SOPA PIPA fight in 2011, experts note. SOPA and PIPA was riddled with problems and would be nonsensical to go down that road again, Moss said. Meredith Rose, a lawyer for the consumer group Public Knowledge, told Motherboard that the high cost of adhering to such laws also tend to disadvantage smaller competitors. In the end, there's a very real risk that you end up concentrating the market power because the dominant player is the only one who can afford to bear the new costs of the law. Rose warned, adding that it's not always clear that the benefit from the law offset the harms from increased concentration. Should the entertainment industry ignore the lessons of the not-so-distant past and more seriously renew its push for internet censorship, online activists and copyright experts will likely be waiting for them. So this article didn't really go into detail about it, but they were totally advocating for, like, the language was like, upon complaint from a jurisdiction or third, from like a judge or a third party advocate, ISPs would have to block. Like, they would not have a recourse. So, like, all, basically, the way it was phrased, the RIAA or a legal representative of an artist could basically force a website offline by sending ISPs letters. The way they send RIAA takedown notices today, which anybody who's ever dealt with those knows that they're automated and terrible. Yeah, they could just force ISPs to block entire websites whenever they wanted with no recourse.
Awesome.
With the way they wrote it.
Great.
One thing they don't bring up with the it works so great overseas. Overseas doesn't have a First Amendment. You can't just stifle my speech. You have to prove that my speech is illegal. That's kind of hard with U.S. law.
Go ahead, Ari.
This is going to work perfect. I see no problems. As you can tell, there's absolutely no sarcasm in my voice. So what, one record label gets in a shit fight with another record label and suddenly they start DDoSing each other by letter?
I'm pretty sure they do that anyways.
Yeah, but this is fucking ridiculous.
Of course it is. You're going to create an entire underground internet. This is why I thought net neutrality was a bad idea in the first place. You don't want to open the door to government regulation of the internet. It has nothing to do with whether the regulation is good or bad. The concept itself is bad. These people are not going to make decisions in the public interest. They're going to make it in the interest of lobbies, or they're going to or lobbyists, or themselves, or you know whatever they think is going to best serve them. Historically, powerful governments are easy to corrupt. So, you know,
if you want, go ahead. If you want people to buy more movies and shit like that, how about not making DVDs $30? You know what I mean? For a movie. Why haven't you implemented the idea of like, hey, bring your USB stick down and you can buy the movie that way. File transfer.
The digital copies are as much as the DVDs. The medium isn't what they're making money off of. It's the cost of the initial sale of the DVD or the movie.
Yeah.
Because if you wait a year, you can get those DVDs for $5. Now, like, if you get those DVDs for $5, you can often find a DVD with 5 movies on it for $5.
That's it. I pirate it and wait for it to come down to $5. So I'm still buying it, just not at $30. I think the price point's too high.
I agree, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Same with, I don't pirate games. I just wait for the console or whatever we were talking about earlier to be discontinued and then buy them super fucking cheap.
Or buy them on Steam sale when they go in there.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows, man, if I buy a game, it's going on sale the next day. That's why I let everybody know what I buy. Steam isn't that expensive. And if you've got a smatter of even just a hint of self-control, you can do pretty well for yourself on Steam.
Well, not only that, but like, you know, for a while there, Netflix was really doing a lot to stop piracy because there was only a handful of things, you know, Netflix and then Amazon Prime and then maybe Hulu. But now you're seeing more and more of these, you know, of streaming services get set up because, you know, every broadcaster wants their own, every studio wants their own, you know, HBO wants theirs and CBS wants theirs. And so now you have to have like $100 worth of streaming services a month if you want to watch everything. So,
like up here in Canada, like there's no Hulu. There's basically Netflix and Amazon Prime Video, and like the selection on Prime Video is just like garbage. And Netflix is not all that awesome either. They've been losing lots of content. And then there's like this, I don't know, it's like Bell or Rogers, one of the big cable companies. They've got a streaming service, but you have to subscribe to the cable company service in order to be eligible to subscribe to their streaming service, and that's only available in certain parts of the country. So like literally like half the content you could watch digitally is just unavailable to you.
Check out a BBC Suave. They actually put a lot of their stuff up. Oh, I thought Canada was able to look at the BBC.
Oh, maybe.
That I can't access it.
Okay, then that wouldn't work for you. Because I'll say YouTube puts up some BBC stuff. I just can't watch it because I'm in the States. I thought Canada had a special, you know, since you still actually kneel to the king and queen or queen, whatever. They might let you watch your TV.
I don't have access to Canadian broadcast either. And Suave doesn't have access.
Yeah, I can
access.
Watch CBC, but, you know.
Yeah, I can't watch.
Canada isn't
exactly
well
ABC.
Known for their high quality output.
I don't know. You've got some pretty good snow videos.
Think the number of actors and comedians that come out of Canada, you'd think they'd have more of it up there.
Oh, like we've got a few good things, but there's just not a whole lot of it.
I know there's a lot of sci-fi that comes out of Canada.
Well, they produce it there. That's for
sure. Yeah, like what? Well, Stargate was Canada.
Yeah, Stargate.
Farscape was Canada and Australia.
I think wasn't Andromeda.
I think was Canada. Lex was Canada.
Well,
most of Sci-Fi
Lex.
Channel was just Canada. Now that I think about it. So.
And Lex was three countries were involved in that one. Germany, Canada, and Great Britain. I don't know why Germany was involved. I was reading it on a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, but we don't have a whole lot.
Huh. That's interesting. Just given the number of actors and comedians that come out of Canada, in at least in the U.S. media, I would have expected Canada to have a little bit more studios up there. But maybe that's what they're doing, is they're selling all of their stuff in the U.S. markets and not in the Canadian market.
No, man, I'll tell you why. It's because we have, Australia and Canada, I think, has a minimum wage. So that's why we don't have a big movie industry. Because we can't just get a bunch of unpaid interns to do all this shit for us. So.
But, so yeah, I mean, that's you know, we talked about that previously. That's why you're seeing piracy go back up, is because it's all fragmenting out, and, you know, you want to watch, you know, a handful of shows, and you end up having $50 worth of streaming services. Well, I mean, how's that any better than cable?
Well, my problem is some of the older stuff. I don't see why that should fragment. Like, on a streaming service, why can't everyone watch the original Star Trek?
Because CBS sees that as a draw to their streaming platform, and therefore they're going to hold it hostage to try to get people onto their platform.
Like, I don't mind, like, the new stuff, like the Netflix originals. Netflix only for a bit, and I've already started seeing them pop up on Amazon. Or The Man in the High Tower being Amazon only for a bit, and then after it goes so many seasons, the back seasons should be available. If they were to interconnect themselves a bit like that, and if you wanted to watch it straight up new, subscribe to a bunch of stuff, but just don't hoard your back catalogs. That, I think, would kill piracy. And I don't think Netflix would be opposed to paying for the content they were before.
So, yeah, they're actively getting blocked out of a lot of this stuff now. Like, I think Disney pulled a bunch of their content off them, too.
Well, because they're a competitor now.
Yeah,
Disney's about to launch a streaming service. Yeah. They also bought the back catalog of, like, Paramount and MGM.
So, let's just see here. We just had somebody new hop in the IRC. So, real quick, reading out the IRC, we got me, Sardonyx, Cykros, Iron Angel, Raynor, and the Major. So, haven't done an IRC read in a bit, but, you know, hey. So, Cykros says he's, you know, studying black magic and at the School of Witchcraft and Finances. So, you know, hey, cool for, good for him. So, I always wondered how they, you know, got balance sheets to work. Witchcraft, that makes perfect sense now. Next article is from The Verge. And this is, I mean, it's just sad. Customers are complaining that Amazon's ads use a deceptive design that tricks them into buying sponsored products instead of items from the baby registries of their friends and family members, reports the Wall Street Journal. Many people noted that they had unwittingly purchased gifts from these ads and that their friends and family received unwanted items. Inside the gift registries, Amazon appears to be including other new baby products like a Playtex diaper genie and Kimberly Clark's Huggles Snug and Dry diapers as sponsored ads. Obviously, I don't have kids, so I don't know what any of this shit is.
Diaper genie, it's pretty much a, you drop it in the machine and the machine seals the shitty diaper into a bag and it's airtight so you don't smell crap in your house.
Ah. The ads are being placed next to actual products requested by people, making them look as if they are part of the wish list, except for a small sponsored tag at the top. The Wall Street Journal notes that these tricky ad designs have existed for at least over a year, but it's just starting to get noticed. About 60% of sponsored ads are included in registries, even though the parents do not have the or even though parents do have the option to remove those sponsored items. In other words, they have to know to do it. Amazon did not clarify whether these ads were intentionally left in. What do you think? Sponsored ad.
Yeah, go ahead. No comment means yes. No means no. That's how that works.
Yep. Amazon did not clarify whether these ads were intentionally left in. These sponsored ads cost advertisers $500,000 per spot. Damn. Well, I mean, yeah.
They're effective.
I bet they are. If people are complaining about them by accidentally buying people the wrong stuff. Federal Trade Commission states that ads must stand out and be distinguishable from non-ads to consumers, but Amazon's sponsored tag is small and gray and can be easily overlooked. Amazon told the Wall Street Journal, "We're constantly experimenting with new ways to improve the shopping experience for our customers." That line has nothing to do with the ad, with the complaint or these ads. That's just a bullshit boilerplate bot response to an email. We've reached out for additional comment, and we'll update if we hear back. Constantly experimenting with new ways to improve the shopping experience for our customers by telling them what they should buy. Wow. So
the suggestions, I don't think a problem. The hiding them.
Yeah, just not making it obvious that it's a fucking ad. It's messed up, man.
Yeah, that's super shady. Although, you know, it's kind of Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon is not your friend.
No, since I've gotten Prime, I've used it more. I didn't mind them suggesting, here's another Pathfinder module you may be interested in. Like, sweet. I'll take that, but I knew what I was getting. I don't want to go, you know, shopping for my sister and then buy five sponsored things.
Well, yeah, especially if they're not things your sister wants, because then you just wasted your money and wasted everybody's time. And it's not like this shit's not going to get returned.
Refund my shit.
Yeah. So I how does that even work out? If everybody's just returning all this stuff, it's got to be costing them more money than their, well, $500,000 a pop. Maybe not.
And depending on what it is, it's not being returned to Amazon. If the sponsored ad is from a third party, like I bought stuff from Amazon, but it wasn't Amazon itself.
Yeah. Well,
and then the return policies are different for each one of those companies.
And some of that stuff's not going to get returned. Like, you know, not the trash can, the self-sealing trash can, but the other one was diapers. I'm betting anybody with a new baby is going to keep the diapers because those things get expensive. So,
yep.
But, so apparently it's 6 in the morning where Raynor is, and he said he couldn't sleep. So, welcome to the IRC. Always cool to see new people in there. And Major is posting YouTube links, which can't watch during the show. What are you doing? Oh, well. Next article is from NBC News and is kind of fun. Apparently the FTC is going to be investigating video game loot boxes. And they're using Overwatch as kind of the example in this article. But a growing backlash against... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
A growing backlash against video game loot boxes in which players pay for the chance to win digital goods has gained a major new backer, the Federal Trade Commission. The commission's chairman, Joe Simmons, said during a congressional oversight hearing on Tuesday that the regulator would look into the in-game loot boxes. The response came after Senator Maggie Hassan sent a letter to the Entertainment and Software Ratings Board asking it to investigate loot box practices. The prevalence of in-game microtransactions, also referred to as loot boxes, raises several concerns surrounding the use of psychological principles and enticing mechanisms that clearly mirror those often found in casinos and in games of chance, Hassan wrote in the letter. Loot boxes are almost a $30 billion industry, according to tech consultancy firm Juniper Research. And, those are sirens outside. I was like, what was that noise? And a major source of income for video game companies, but have also caused concern among anti-gambling advocacy groups and psychologists who say consumers can exhibit gambling-like behavior in buying loot boxes. Loot boxes, which can now be found in many popular video games, including Overwatch, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and Counter-Strike, and on every mobile game, are a form of microtransaction that costs real-world currency to purchase in-game packages that include everything from new characters and weapons to character costumes and even dance moves. Much of the allure of loot boxes comes from the fact that the players don't actually know what they'll get before they open the box.
That's not an allure. They lie right fucking there.
Yeah, because like in Overwatch, if you wanted a particular skin, you know, you probably have people willing to pay 10, 15, 20 bucks just to get the skin. Most loot boxes contain common items, but some offer rare and valuable digital goods, some of which can be sold on secondary markets for real money. Skins for guns in Counter-Strike, especially a paint job that does not affect... Essentially, a paint job that does not affect the gun's in-game effectiveness are currently on sale for hundreds and thousands of dollars. Are people paying thousands of dollars for Counter-Strike skins, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Isn't there a weird, like, using them as currency, like, underground trading ring thing happening?
Yeah, there's some weird shit going on with it. There was some kid who spent, like, 20 grand of his mom's money just on live camera opening loot boxes.
Fuck.
I would still be beating that child. I don't know when the story was written, but I would still be beating that child.
Loot boxes are now a common part of major video games and gaming culture. The UK Gambling Commission published a report last week that 3 in 10 children had opened a loot box in a video game. And, you know, 2 more children in that study were probably lying. It was the highest rate of participation in gambling-style activities online by almost 20% margin. A brief search of YouTube turns up thousands of videos of people opening loot boxes and discussing their contents, including younger gamers. In a video below, a young gamer opens loot boxes. Overwatch is rated by the ESPR for teens age 13 and up, and the kid in the video is obviously not 13. Looks to be about maybe 6.
It also appears to be sitting in like a $800 gaming chair.
Yeah, he's in one of those high-speed chairs. He's got OBS set up with the green screen and is obviously expecting his mother to just shovel food into his mouth. He's exposed by his open mouth there. You know, he's not going to get up from the computer. He's just expecting to be fed.
Toilet!
Thank you for getting the joke. As loot boxes have become more common in video games, consumer advocacy groups and academics have found troubling patterns among some gamers.
Busybodies, in other words. Got nothing fucking better to do.
2 researchers conducted a survey of more than 7,000 gamers and found important links between loot box spending and problem gambling. And that gamers who displayed gambling addiction issues typically spent more money on video game loot boxes. The researchers warned that buying loot boxes may therefore lead to problem gambling amongst gamers. Loot boxes have also received pushback from within the gaming community. Electronic Arts' Star Wars Battlefront 2 included a loot box system that included star cards, in-game items that made players stronger, sparking outrage after it created what some players called a pay-to-win system. After a widespread backlash, EA removed the ability to purchase loot boxes entirely. After community criticism of Electronic Arts, politicians began to take notice. Hawaii state representatives called the Star Wars Battlefront 2 loot box system a predatory practice and compared it to an online casino. Politicians outside the U.S. have also taken notice. On Tuesday, an Australian Senate committee recommended a comprehensive review of loot boxes. Belgium and the Netherlands passed laws in April banning loot boxes entirely, labeling them as gambling. The ESRB issued a statement to online video game media outlet Kotaku last year, pushing back on the characterization of loot boxes as gambling. ESRB does not consider loot boxes to be gambling, said an ESRB spokesperson in an email to Kotaku. The ESRB was established by the Trade Association of Video Games Industry and is a self-regulation organization. When asked for comment on the FTC's discussion with Senator Hassan, a spokesperson for the ESRB sent an email, "We would be happy to further discuss the matter with Senator Hassan and order the FTC at any time." So, yeah, I don't know that we're going to see it banned, but they probably will see it, put an age requirement on it. Not that that's ever worked in the past. How many how many websites say you have to be 18 and you just click right through them?
How many people have been playing, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto since Grand Theft Auto 1?
To this day, I'm still making all the websites that ask for my birth date think that I'm 100.
When were you born? 1736, bitch.
Just go find the earliest date, and that's what I always pick.
Yep. So, with that, and I mean, come on.
But, video games, like if you've got like loot boxes that you earn through playing and you're not, there's no money involved, that's fine. And if you're like buying, like doing microtransactions and actually like buying things in the game. Like, it still isn't that gambling aspect. But like, as soon as you have money involved with the random aspect like that, it's a totally different animal. And I totally is gambling. Like, you know, it's gambling in the same way that the casinos in, what is it, Japan are, where you don't actually win money. You win tokens that you can trade in for prizes, and you can take those prizes pachinko over to the place next door and trade your
pachinko parlor
for money.
Yeah.
So now Raynor actually has a really good
it's
point
like
in the IRC.
It's like gambling with extra steps.
He has a really good point in the IRC. I suppose you could count Magic the Gathering card packs as physical loot boxes.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Ban Magic now. Actually,
same
I'm not on board with this
baseball
now.
Baseball card packs.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Raynor. We should ban Magic the Gathering.
I will fucking
exactly.
rape all of you. Your skulls will be my fucking toys.
No, I was against this at first. I was like, fuck it, let it be. But if there's a way to ban Magic the Gathering, I'm fucking down with this.
All
this
of
is gonna
you
piss.
Suck my ass. Magic is fine the way it is.
Oh, this is great. I'm going to tell Saad now. I'm working to get Magic banned.
Seriously, Magic the Gathering is like the first pay-to-win game ever.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I'm going to see my Prime Minister about this.
Well, who do we see this week?
Scott, we got to get Magic banned. Thanks.
It's
yep,
gambling. It kind of is, though. I mean,
it is gambling. You don't know what you're going to get in the pack. Yeah, whenever you're buying a box of Magic cards, you're gambling on what you're getting.
Yeah.
Now you are guaranteed so many rares, so many whatever. But which ones they are and whether they're going to meet your play style.
Well, there's no guarantee that every pack in that box isn't going to have the same rare. I mean, that's unlikely, but it's possible.
You know, that was one of the greatest thrills of my life as a kid, buying a fucking pack of cards, hoping to get something good.
Oh, yeah.
But if I can get rid of that thrill, you know, and make boring as shit life for kids, I can do it. This is going to be great. Magic is going to be dead.
Actually, there is an argument to be said that it is like gambling light. And it's maybe a good introduction to gambling and maybe teach people lessons about gambling before they go out and are idiots and lose all their money.
You just know there's a chance you're going to get crap. Prepare to trade your blue cards for the red ones you were really wanting.
Well, what it'll end up doing
like
is...
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's going to make any game that has loot boxes automatically, you know, rated 18+. That's ultimately what it's going to be. You have to be 18 to buy Magic cards. You have to be 18 to buy loot boxes.
Well, making the games 18+, I don't think is going to even affect sales.
No, probably not. I mean, you know, if like Overwatch is rated for 13 and up, and they've got the 6-year-old on YouTube. Well, I mean, fuck, Facebook says you have to be so old to make an account, and we all know that's not the case.
Yeah,
I've seen people buy the most graphic whatever games for their 10-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to affect sales.
But, you know, I got to say, like, with the light gambling, it may not necessarily be a bad thing for kids. Like, when I was a kid, I went to a carnival, and, like, instead of, like, buying tickets right away, I kind of walked around, checked everything out, and I found one of those, like, coin pusher machines. You know, you roll coins in,
yeah,
and it, like,
great.
Pushes things off the shelf.
Especially if you can,
and
you know,
I sat
you know,
there
the
and spent
that off
every
the
single penny I brought with me. And
you got nothing.
And I didn't get to go on any rides, didn't get any treats or anything, and, like, went home all pouty and upset, you know, little kid. And, like, that was, like, my formative experience with gambling. And I've always been, like, very reasonable with gambling ever since, because it's just...
My formative experience
I learned my lesson was
figuring out that one of the local fairs we had, I don't want to say the name of it because it's actually somewhat known. They all use the same little red tickets that you can just go, you know, buy at Hobby Lobby. So I tried to get my mom to take me to Hobby Lobby because I wanted to buy a roll of those tickets. And when she figured out what I wanted to do with them, I got in so much shit. It's like, no, I'm just going to walk into the fair with these, right? Because then we just buy them. And yeah, I was told cheating was bad and got in trouble and grounded. So.
Damn, at least your dad came in, come in and high-five you, you know?
No, no.
Oh, they
thought it was great.
He wasn't told about it.
Yeah, I often lament that my parents raised me with morals. I could be, you know, making so much money right now. Anyways, let's see. Next article is just kind of funny. And it's from NBCNews.com. Let me just get this pasted in here. Here's the headline. Starbucks says it will start blocking pornography in stores' Wi-Fi in 2019. And the kicker, in response, a vice president at a top porn site sent off a memo to all staff banning Starbucks products from company offices starting on January 1st, 2019.
That is amazing. Both of them get kudos.
Starbucks will start banning, blocking pornography viewing in its store's Wi-Fi starting in 2019. The company announced amid a renewed public pressure on the coffee giant by an internet safety group. A Starbucks representative told NBC News that the viewing of egregious content over its store's Wi-Fi has always violated its policy, but the company now has a way to stop it. Who the fuck is sitting there in the middle of a Starbucks just, you know, going
watching
to town
some
on
dungeon porn and going town on it?
I mean,
they got to get the cream filling for those donuts somewhere.
I would think that, you know, somebody whipping it out and going to town in the middle of a Starbucks would get them ejected and banned anyways. Oh, Psychro
hey,
says
do
he
have
uses
a public washroom.
They use the bathrooms. Okay, Psychro says he uses the bathrooms. Got it.
yeah, just think about that every time you use a public restroom.
This is why I don't buy coffee at fucking Starbucks.
If somebody was whacking off in the bathroom?
God
it's a
damn.
Thrill thing. Oh, I missed a line. Okay. He said people make porn in coffee shops. Okay, well. Oh, fuck.
God. I need to go into a fucking Starbucks with a fucking black light and some luminol.
It's probably not a bad idea. Well,
are you with his new live stream series going around inspecting the Starbucks restrooms with the black light? Yep, Jack's been here.
Really, wow. Humans are disgusting, filthy creatures. You could just like walk around anywhere with the black light and find all kinds of fucked up shit.
Where was I with the article?
People buy food at Starbucks. Oh, fuck.
There's also public Wi-Fi at most fast food places these days, are you?
This is why
somebody
I don't eat
feeding
out,
man. Off in a, wait a minute, you like KFC. Those mashed potatoes, extra flavoring.
We have identified a solution to prevent this content from being viewed within our stores, and we began introducing it near U.S. locations in 2019, the company representative said. The announcement was first reported by Business Insider and comes after a petition from internet safety advocacy group Enough is Enough garnered more than 26,000 signatures. The nonprofit launched a porn-free campaign aimed at McDonald's and Starbucks in 2014 and says that while McDonald's responded rapidly and positively, Starbucks did not. Starbucks said in 2016 that the company was in active discussions with organizations on implementing the right broad-based solution that would remove any illegal or egregious content, according to a statement Monday by Enough is Enough CEO Donna Rice Hughes, but they didn't act, she said. So what is this advocacy group doing? They're going into Starbucks, connecting to the Wi-Fi, and seeing what pages will load? I mean, look. I seriously doubt that many people are sitting there just, you know, you know, watching 4chan in the middle of Starbucks. I mean, I just don't see
people
doing it.
You walk up to the advocacy group, you're the only one streaming this right now.
Starbucks had has had a tremendous opportunity to put its best foot forward in protecting its customers from images deemed obscene and illegal under the law. But they haven't budged, despite their promise 2 years ago, and despite the fact that they voluntarily filter the same content in the UK, you said in the statement. So, in other words, because they haven't figured out a web filter that they think's not going to piss people off and isn't retardedly expensive. Psychro, stop giving them ideas in the IRC. He's like, yeah, punch this into Google, guys.
I think we found his fetish.
Lighthouse. They could use that. That's a great one.
Hughes told NBC News on Thursday that Enough is Enough ran a thank you campaign for Starbucks in 2016, but this time the organization will take a different tact. They won't get an applause till they've actually implemented safe Wi-Fi filtering, Hughes said. This time we're going to wait and see, and we're going to keep the pressure on. In a letter that Hughes said she received from Starbucks over the summer, the company vowed to address the issue once we determine that our customers can access our free Wi-Fi in a way that doesn't also involuntarily block unintended content. Starbucks has not released details about how it plans to restrict the viewing of pornographic sites or illegal content over its Wi-Fi. And now for the part that we've all been waiting for. The vice president of YouPorn, a free pornographic video sharing site and one of the 200 most visited websites worldwide, responded by sending a memo to staff banning Starbucks products from the company offices starting on January 1st, 2019. I love that retaliation. That's perfect.
Yep.
That's a good one.
I'm an eye for an eye kind of guy. You won't let my product in your store, I'm not letting your product in my store. So somebody wipe the tears off that child so that she can get in the next game.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So, anyways, the fuck, cat? He's pulled one of the damn fan filters out of an extra case in the closet and has been tearing it to pieces. Son of a bitch.
And he can't even eat it.
No, he's just being a little asshole right now.
Oh, that's what cats do.
The moment I start a fucking podcast, he decides to start being a little dick. So
I do believe that FSC group is looking for a problem. Yeah. I don't think there's a major issue with Starbucks being wiped off.
I mean, as many people have internet access at home, you know, it's like you go to Starbucks. I don't see a lot of people. I mean, there's always the funny video you see on YouTube of like some old person sitting at like the public library looking at something. But I mean, that's why it's funny, because it doesn't happen. You know, what are they accidentally clicking a link or getting a pop-up with something inappropriate on it? I mean, most people would be pretty embarrassed if they were in a public place and got a pop-up like that. So it's not like you... I mean, the public shaming thing really doesn't need to happen. It already kind of happens. So...
Anyways. I don't know, man. People are pretty tolerant now.
It's like, sir, you can't watch this in here. That's racist! But you're...
It's interracial porn. Okay. What, you want some interspecies stuff as well? I'll get that for you.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, dolphins love too.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm going to cry if that's actually a porn anywhere.
Oh, you haven't seen that one, man? After the show.
I'm going to continue not seeing that one.
So why don't we rocket snail on out of this one and into an article that RU sent me?
This might not be better.
So Rainer saying he was at a PC cafe once and somehow got involved in helping unfuck an old dude's PC so he could watch his porn. ad block and no script. That's usually your best defense. VirtualBox and a Linux distro is actually a really good way to go about that too. I've had to help family too. Anyways,
please tell me that was the reason you were given.
No, they didn't know how their machine got so messed up. I knew how the machine got so messed up. And this
what do you
is
mean
why
you can remove browser history?
So this is why my PC repair toolkit is a screwdriver, well, multi-tool nowadays, USB flash drive with a bunch of cleanup tools and a Ubuntu live disk on it, and a pair of rubber fucking gloves.
Gotta have the rubber gloves.
You know what? That's good advice anyways. If you do PC repair, keep a pair of rubber gloves on you. Go or go get some of those mechanics, the latex, not latex, what are those things? The black ones that are like thicker and stronger than regular latex gloves. I can't think what they're called. And keep them in your PC kit, because if you ever look at, I mean, porn aside, look, you ever look at somebody's keyboard, especially if they eat at their desk, it is
how often do they dust
filthy.
Their keyboard?
It is fucking filthy.
I think I've cleaned my keyboard twice.
So, okay, back to the article here. Togolese innovators turn the world's junk into robots. This is from the BBC. Togo imports an estimated 500,000 tons of e-waste a year. Some of it can be a health hazard, but it also inspires local innovators and provides jobs. It looks like a spider and it moves like one, but this robot creature just cannot be dismissed as a toy. It's also a symbol of the digital revolution brewing in one of Africa's smallest countries. I made this from a discarded 3D printer, Osuya Fole Bibi said, pointing to his robotic arachnid. And discarded 3D printer. Dude.
Yeah, where do you get a discarded 3D printer?
No maker throws a 3D printer away. At worst, they part it out and, you know, throw the acrylic
it has,
frame
like, the
away.
Best
you don't realize how rich
ever.
America is, dude. Yeah, we throw shit away.
I mean, I realize I'm kind of designed my third and fourth ones in my head, and I'm going to be building them shortly, but it's not like I plan on throwing one of them away.
Some people don't care, man. They ditch anything.
The plastic.
It's hoarders like us.
Yeah.
And the bad.
The plastic retrieved from the printer became the arms and legs. I also made a 3D printer as well from the e-waste. Well, if you had a discarded 3D printer, why'd you need to make one? I actually learned how to make the printer from the internet, he adds. Mr. Folio Bebe takes the robot spider into schools, hoping to interest the students in science and recycling. My hope is to make a science kit so they can begin to make their own things and solve the problems of the community, the inventor says. His Ecotech lab is situated in Anaheim on the outskirts of Togo's capital, Lome. If I'm saying these names wrong, I'm sorry. I have absolutely no idea what the proper pronunciation is. It's a modest space with a blackboard dominating one wall and a 3D printer next to the opposite wall. The 29-year-old is one of a growing number of young entrepreneurs who see the e-waste imported by Togo as an opportunity. Local environmental body e-waste center estimates that 500,000 tons come into the country every year. Outside his lab is a motley collection of old televisions and other used electronic goods spread out over a tennis court-sized dump site. Conveniently, Mr. Folio Bebe shares the site with an e-waste recycler, giving easy access to parts for his inventions. Dude, he's got a fairly good-sized flat-screen TV in his hands in that in the photo there. It's like, damn, people throw shit away like that? I guess if it's broken, maybe. He admits he has learned a lot about recycling from others, such as Ginkgo Afdate. Okay, Ari, you just sent me this article to hear me say these names.
Damn right.
Who is credited with having made the first 3D printer in Togo. So impressive was Mr. Afdate's homemade printer that it took first place at the Barcelona Fabrication Technology Conference in 2015. The soft-spoken 39-year-old innovator, who previously used to collaborate with another technology hub called Woe Lab, is one of the best in town. Recently started his own lab and operates out of a small workspace next to his house. At first, electronic waste was a plague, and that's how we used to describe it, Mr. Afate says. Our streets were littered with old computer bodies rotting away, but today that problem has turned into an opportunity. E-waste could be described as a gold mine. Only 41 countries in the world, most of them European, collect statistics on e-waste, according to the Global E-Waste Monitor Project. In 2016, people around the world generated about 44 million tons of electronic waste, the report said. I believe that. They actually have a picture of the back of the guy's car, and he's got, looks like an old Casio keyboard, what's probably a DMX light controller, and a couple of speaker sets, and looks like maybe 5 or 6 DVDs, or maybe those are VCRs. It's hard to tell.
You know, instead of like stripping all this stuff for parts, a guy should just fix it and just get an eBay account.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, that would work pretty well.
I probably make more than you would for just the scrap price.
Yeah, old mobile phones, laptops, TVs, and generators jammed inside vans and lorries form part of what comes to Loam's port. The vehicles are opened up at a market next door to the port, and the buyers gather around. The rising demand for technology has created a market for people who want to buy secondhand electronics at bargain prices. Yes, I believe that is, in fact, called eBay. It is not just demand for these products that is encouraging their arrival. It's also the inadequate recycling available in the richer countries. Organizations such as the Basel Action Network are raising concerns that Western countries are simply not handling their own electronic waste effectively, leaving it destined to end up on cargo ships bound for West Africa, among other places. The world does not know what to do with the e-waste it's producing. Africa offers the best environment for dumping, says activist Sina Akula from the Youth for Environmental Togo. Yeah.
Best environment for dumping. Fuck you,
see
Africa.
That. Yeah, pretty much. We have a weak regulatory framework, weak institutions, and corruption also aids the movement of e-waste. We need to emulate Thailand, who threatened to use her military to ban the import of electronic waste. While it is not against international law to export used goods to other countries, the problem comes about if the goods no longer work, as outlined by treaties such as the Basel and Bamako Conventions. The Bamako Convention, which came to life in 1998, commits African nations to banning the importation of hazardous waste, including radioactive material. Were we dumping radioactive waste in Africa?
Yeah,
no, we were selling it to them.
Somalia. We were dumping off the coast of Somalia. What? You got Africa's perfect for dumping. You read the fucking article, man. It's in the article. It's a perfect place for dumping. Why am I not going to believe them?
Oh, fuck. I like the picture, because this guy's obviously made his own. It looks like a jeweler's lens that he's using to examine a chip, but the frame is just twisted wire.
You know, it's got that lens has that kind of like semi-reflective coating that you often see on camera lenses.
Well, yeah, it looks like he's probably just from using a camera lens.
Yeah.
It also encourages countries.
Like that's steampunk as shit.
Oh, yeah.
It is. MacGyver is fucked, dude.
I like it. Yeah. It's awesome. Because the fact that he's looking at a chip means they're sitting there extracting chips from the electronics and making new circuits, which I think is awesome, by the way. Because a lot of so you think about it, right? Okay, yeah, in an old computer, the processor's going to be out of date. The some like the Northbridge and stuff like that's not going to be all that useful. But think about all of the glue logic. Think about all of the microprocessors, all of the, I mean, hell, the dumb electronics, the resistors, capacitors, you know, triacs and transistors that are on these boards that are probably perfectly good and could easily be reused in modern circuits. If these guys are desoldering that shit and just taking those parts and reusing them, that's badass. Let's see. Think of a set of televisions. They have cadmium, lead, and barium. All of those are toxic and very dangerous to humans and the environment, Mr. Akula says. They can find their way into aquifers, spill into ocean. We eat the fish. They contain mercury and much more. It's very dangerous for us health. Yeah, because we were talking about the, you know, how a lot of places they just burn it for the raw materials, and it's, you know, get the gold out of it, get the metals out of it. But it's difficult to regulate electronic waste management because many people earn a living from it. If you look at the type of waste which arrives here, a lot of it is highly dangerous and toxic. So we should really evaluate the economic impact that it could have on our environment. Hervé Tempskis from the E-Waste Center Recycling Business says. His team tries to minimize their exposure to hazardous materials in the e-waste, and he hopes the higher standard will one day be the norm in Togo. For now, what they cannot repurpose, they export back to Europe, where it originally came from. The irony is not lost on Mr. Tamshi. Here are the TVs that contain toxic materials. We pay to send these back to Belgium for recycling because we do not have the capability here to recycle the e-waste in a safe way. In a country with limited job opportunities for its young people, there's huge potential in this industry. So
then fucking build it.
This
guy's sitting around bitching about the environmental aspects of it. Oh, there's hundreds of millions of people out of work. You know, this would be a great industry. then fucking start the industry.
Well, dude, I love this photo of the guy who's made that lens out of what looks like a camera lens. Like, we were just talking about it, and, you know, twisted wire, and he's holding a chip. Because, I mean, like we were talking about, a lot of this stuff is probably, if you took the time to learn it and extract it, and you can get yourself a fucking electronics education on the internet easy. You could just watch YouTube videos for a couple of weeks and figure out, you know, what to do with most of these circuits, right?
Exactly.
So
then you get a couple of people, teach them how to do it, and then they teach a couple of people, and you slowly build a business.
I mean, and let's be really real. Yeah, a nice high-end soldering station is nice. A nice, you know, hot air rework is great. But most people, you know, you can desolder with a $20 paint stripper gun if you have to. You can solder by taking a strip of steel, a steel wire, bending it and using a lighter under it if you had to. So these guys could work these electronics into something. I think you're right in this article, are you? There's a shit ton of opportunity for these people.
Yeah. I mean, like, Africa's a great dumping ground.
Well, it's in the article.
It's a shithole. Because there's no work. There's no employment. Hey, take some of this electronics. Use some of the early startup you're getting from the gold and shit you're getting out of these circuit boards to just slowly build it up. And what are you going to do, sit around all day getting covered in flies? Get fucked, man. Work.
Well, not only that, but if you think about it, so a good chunk of this stuff's not going to work, but some of it is. And, oh, no, that computer's 3 years old, so an American might throw it, or a European might throw it out because it's 3 years old and too slow to do anything useful. But that's bullshit, man. We've all got old computers kicking around that if you took the time, cleaned them up, they'd do something useful. It's just that you have something better now, so you don't use it, right?
I was going to say, if you didn't have access to something better, you'd still be using that old computer. If these guys don't have one, what's wrong with an older one?
Yeah.
As far as running a business or, I don't know, doing spreadsheets for bookkeeping or accounting, you could have really old parts and it would be completely fine.
Well, for that kind of shit, a Commodore 64 still works.
Or one of my favorite junk articles, it's not in this one, but a dude in a UN refugee camp started a business with old PlayStations he was able to scrabble together. It seems FIFA World Soccer, great stress reliever whenever you're being run out of your country.
I could see that.
And he was just, he built his own arcade in a refugee center. He was one of the refugees. He decided to become self-employed.
Nice. I like it. So
come in, give me some quarters, play soccer for how many ever minutes that buys you.
Yeah. No, it's good on him. I think that's good use of resources. So, and the last news article I have for tonight before we get into Dojo. This is from metro.co.uk. Surprising no one, by the way. Traces of feces have been found on every single McDonald's touchscreen swabbed in an investigation by metro.co.uk.
I knew that. People don't all wash their hands. And they touch money, which is covered in shit.
Samples were taken from the new machines that have been rolled out at restaurants across the country. Every single one of them had coliforms. Senior lecturer in microbiology at London Metropolitan University, Dr. Paul Metaboyle, said, "We were all surprised at how much gut and fecal bacteria there was on the touchscreen machines. These caused the kind of infections that people pick up in hospitals. For instance, the Enterococcus faecalis is part of the flora of the gastrointestinal tract of healthy humans and other mammals. It is notorious in hospitals for causing hospital-acquired infections. Unsuspecting diners choose their food on the touchscreens and then head to the server to pick up their burgers, more often than not, without washing their hands. A screen at one branch was found to have Staphylococcus, bacteria that can cause blood poisoning. Staph syndrome. It's a fucking staph. Dr. Matewele, I don't know how to say that name. Seeing staff on these machines is worrying because it's so contagious. It starts around people's noses. If they touch their noses with their nose with the fingers and then transfer it to the touchscreen, then somebody else will get it. And then they'll have an open cut, which it gets into, and then it can be dangerous. There's a lot of worries at the moment that staph is becoming resistant to antibiotics. However, it's really dangerous in places like Africa where it can cause toxic shock. Metro.co.uk study with the university's School of Human Sciences involved swabs taken from 8 McDonald's restaurants, 6 in London and 2 in Birmingham. So it's just you filthy UKers. Listeria bacteria was found in Oxford Street and Holloway Road branches. It can cause listeria's. We can lead to miscarriages and stillbirths in pregnant women. Fuck. I know they're going through the medical textbooks and just finding the worst outcome. You need to start bringing alcohol wipes with you everywhere you go and just wiping off your hands after you touch anything.
No, man. Make a conscious effort to glove up every time you go into one of those places.
Yeah.
Like, make it really obvious that you're putting gloves on. Either they think you're about to rob the place, or you've got a grippy problem.
Just look at it like this. Like, do you think it's just touch screens? Doorknobs, no. Handrails, like anything that people touch is going to be coated. And you've been touching this stuff your whole life, and you haven't died from toxic shock syndrome.
Not yet.
Everything's going to be fine, guys.
But the problem is I know about it now.
Don't go licking anything, and you'll be okay.
And I really, 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 really wanted to lick that touch screen that I saw 1,000 people press their balls against.
It's
like
do.
Vaccinations, you know, like a little bit of exposure, you know, maybe
it's
maybe
sort of like whipping
build up an immunity.
It's sort of like whipping it out in a Starbucks. It's for the thrill. Fuck. Okay.
Gross. Move on.
Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. Both of them are awesome. The first is this project called Blimpduino. Now, this is awesome because I used to build these things before Arduinos were really a thing. And what it is you take a helium balloon and this little 3D printed frame and this little Arduino board with a lithium battery. It's got 3 propellers on it. And it's basically a little UAV-controlled blimp. So you can put a little camera on it flying around. This particular project, actually, they've got a custom circuit board and a kit you can buy. But it's open source, so you could adapt it with a regular Arduino board or whatever. Probably do the same thing with a Raspi, or truth be told. As long as you can control the 3 motors and have some kind of Wi-Fi. But they've got an iPhone or an Android app for steering the blimp. They've got OpenNV cameras. It's all open source as well. So if you click more info from the main page, you can scroll down and they've got all the links to their GitHub and the schematics and all that at the bottom. So, you know, you don't even necessarily have to buy their kit, although that's probably a good way to get into it. And it looks like it'll work with pretty much any helium balloon that's got enough lift to carry the thing, right? But I used to build these. I actually flew one around a LAN party that I hacked up a long time ago with a wireless security camera on it. So the blimp was fucking huge to carry this camera. And I got some cool shots. Unfortunately, at the time, the capture is all like at 320 by 200. So, but the coolest thing I noticed, and that I remember from doing this at a LAN party, that tells you how long ago I was doing this when LAN parties were still a thing, I guess. Although I think some are still going. Are LAN parties still a thing anywhere else? I mean, is that a...
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I miss those. Those were fun.
I think LAN war might still be going on.
Yeah, it probably is. Shit,
you know,
we should
like,
go to that.
Internet's so good, people just don't bother anymore.
We should go to that if it's still going, man. Oh, that'd be a fun meetup. Let's see.
I wonder how much of the, how many of the memes we'll still get.
None.
One of the last ones I went to, instead of internet culture, there was a lot of Dave Chappelle shit. Don't get me wrong, Dave Chappelle was funny, but it wasn't the internet.
Let's see, LAN war. Wow, this website looks terrible. It looks like they tried to reinvent it. Next one's January 17th, 2019. Fuck, it's still going. And it's still in the same place. Oh, I'm tempted to sign up for that. Although Louisville's a hell of a drive from here. $60? Wow.
Wow. That's pricey for a LAN party.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, anyways, the coolest thing about flying that blimp around, though, because it was a security camera, so anything where it was dark, it was black and white because it had the little ring of infrared LEDs on it, right? But anything that was lit up was in color. So you got this really fun effect when I was flying the thing around in the middle of the night because all the lights were out, where the people were all in black and white, but their screens were all in color. So it was just a really fun effect, and it was totally by accident. But so this Blimp Duino project takes me back to that, and I think it's a cool project and, you know, probably worth buying the kit. But or at least the circuit board, because, you know, 3D print the kit yourself. But you could probably easily replicate the thing with a Raspi or Arduino yourself, you know, look up and do the work on it, right? So... anyways, anybody have any thoughts on that before we move on?
Good.
Good.
It's easier to fly drone.
Yeah, it's probably a hell of a lot easier to fly than a quadcopter.
Unless it's windy.
Unless it's windy, that's true. That was the other really nice thing about it being a blimp was it was super quiet. Like some quadcopters sound like a fucking, you know, hornet's nest. And, I mean, this thing, we just let it hang in areas for a while because, you know, why not? So.
That and the batteries lasted longer that way.
That's true. That's true. Well, I mean, I don't know. I had a 9-volt with a boost board running a 12-volt camera. So, I mean, you know, it didn't last that long. I don't know about flying it with a VR headset. You probably have to do the work on that one. The last thing I have is an ancient GitHub repository. And well, ancient GitHub thing. It hasn't been updated in 6 years. Wolfenstein 3D in a web browser. In JavaScript and HTML. The GitHub project obviously doesn't have any... you need the game files for it, for the actual content. But there are lots of open source, you know, they're free... Wolf 3D maps, not to mention I'm sure you could just Google and find the official ones. That game's so old. Just go find the shareware package for it. But it's Wolfenstein 3D that will run in a freaking web browser. How can you not love this? Nobody knows what Wolfenstein 3D is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it on Steam.
So this is the engine written in JavaScript, so it runs in a web browser. I thought that was fucking cool.
That'd be cool.
It's pretty neat.
But the website I gave you last week is even cooler.
That's true. That is true. So anyway, so I thought that was fun. That's why it's in Digital Dojo. That's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the show. We're always working on it. The stream, we're always working on it. I say that, you know, we haven't actually done any serious work on the stream in years. I redesign the website every once in a while when I get bored, but I haven't done that lately either. I'm open to ideas to what to do with the stream and the station. I don't know anymore, but the show is still somewhat popular, or at least we get feedback and people show up in the IRC every once in a while, so it's not like I'm going to stop, but because I'd probably go insane. Oh, wait, already there. Pure Decking every Thursday, except for holidays, and it's this time of year that's important, and occasionally I take breaks. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. Subreddit's actually probably a pretty good way to get a hold of me. Cycross sends me links on there every once in a while. It's just Morps on Reddit, so it's easy to send me a link if you want to send me a link that way. And Madman, closing thoughts.
Pumpkin shouldn't be in a beer. I've got dogs barking for some fucking reason. Do I need to grab a gun?
You say that like you don't already have one at your desk.
Oh, no, my desk is in the living room. The gun's actually right now in the bedroom near my pants. I'm wearing different pants.
He only has one pair of pants, ladies and gentlemen. The gun is near them. Are you, future news? I mean, closing thoughts.
I don't really have anything. I'm too hungry, man. I ran long today.
You want to grab some ribs?
I'm going to cook a steak in a minute, man.
Nice. All right, all right, Suave, close us out.
I just hope that there's a few less Indian call center scams coming through the line.
Would be nice. Sure.
That would be very nice.
That would be nice.
Hey, man, they have to work too.
We can send them some e-waste. They can make robots.
Like everyone else.
All right, that's all I got. I'm going to hit the buttons on the soundboard and probably fuck something up.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.